Oh, okay.
What right. blue dot?
I already pressed it. It went away.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and now it's a red dot. It means it's live.
Let's get rid of this.
Yeah.
How's that, huh?
How do you like me now?
You like me now.
There we go. It's a great sub sandwich. All right. So today.
Yes.
Welcome.
Welcome to the show.
Are we on?
Hold on. Yeah, we're okay. on.
All right. You had to make sure.
Let's see. We got the album ready to go.
Here. Yeah, we got right here. We got these two fellas. This is Bill Perkins and Bud Shank. And the beauty of these guys is that Bud Shank, in particular, had to have had one of the greatest gigs ever. He was a part of the Lighthouse All Stars out in Southern California, looking over an ocean all the time. I mean, you couldn't complain going to a gig like that.
Oh, really?
Oh, man, I got to go play jazz over the ocean again.
A free venue, free drinks, and a view.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And they're not necessarily talking about the waitresses either.
Why are you so down, bud? Mm. It's just the way my face is. It's the way my beard's formed.
Really? All right. Hey, this is some good stuff.
This is some swinging good, straight up jazz right in your soul.
So let's crank it up here for just a moment.
Let's do it. Yeah. This is the good stuff. So, the one thing I want to say is you listen to that, and I always ask these musicians, why do you love jazz? And they always just kind of stop, and they're like, huh, why do I like cottage cheese? Why do I like my wife? Why do I like breathing? It's like they just don't know what to say. It's a feeling. It's like, why do you like that? What was so good about that? It's like music. I just like it.
Just about any musician I ask, you try to get down to the basics like that, they kind of look at you strange like that. What is it? An interviewer asked Louis Armstrong once, said, man, what is jazz? Louis just looked at him and said, man, you got to ask. You never know.
That's right. That's right. You just feel it. It's a feeling, you know?
Yeah.
I was just thinking about a jazz song called Cottage Cheese. That might be a tasty little thing.
Yeah, that could be the name of the album. We're being addressed by our manager here at the moment.
Exactly. I'm telling you. Cottage Cheese Experiment. Thank you.
There you are. The cottage. Oh, okay. The Cottage Cheese Experiment. Amanda.
Amanda has the
idea. Pop it here on the camera.
Come on over here.
No. Yeah. Yeah, we kind of relocated the camera this time. Get on the mic there. What were you suggesting as far as cottage cheese?
I think there should be a band, a new jazz band called the Cottage Cheese Experiment.
Oh, that sounds a little more esoteric. Yeah, I like that.
Songs
catchy.
And cheese minor.
Yeah.
See? A little cheesy around here tonight, folks.
You see,
just
we got
straight up.
We got a listening audience. Hey.
It's the Peanut Gallery. Yay. So, what else is going on around here?
Well, I haven't seen you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's been a few.
Yeah, they're collecting stuff. You were playing we did two shows here this evening.
Yes.
Show number 463 and 464. The first band you mentioned, I almost got in there and said something about it because they were described as, well, one of the first places they performed at that gave them any notoriety was an avant-garde, a place that's known for avant-garde jazz, and you, one reviewer called them a combination of what, avant-garde and perverse?
Once called perverse mainstream hard bop imagined by Frank Zappa.
Okay, I could hear that from Zappa.
Yes.
All right.
So basically what they're saying is, this is David Lynch playing a jazz solo on the moon.
All right. David Lynch playing a jazz solo in the moon.
On the moon.
Oh, my.
With donuts and coffee, right on the right table.
Yeah, with the Lamar's donuts just down and over to the right.
I'm sorry, man. Twin Peaks is on my brain.
I guess it is.
It's just I can't get over it.
Joe did a show that where he played some music off of that. Some of the weird music that David Lynch chose was, I shouldn't say weird, because then I set myself aside from being a true artist. No, it was an avant-garde.
It was that cat that had the well, but he had the voice. He had the female voice.
Yes.
And I can't.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and it never developed in his life. Yeah. Johnny.
Johnny female voice.
Oh.
I'm not being any help at all.
I'm not either. It's gonna come. Okay. It's gonna come. But anyways, I don't really usually get too excited about the whole. I watch TV. I mean, we're watching Parks and Rec. That's a great show, but I'm really excited about Twin Peaks coming back out.
It is coming back out?
It's coming back out on Showtime. It's going to be this Sunday. They're going to have a big two-hour season premiere. They're going to have 21 new episodes.
I'm going to say, not the old stuff. They're redoing it,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, they're picking back up 25 years after Laura Palmer died, and it's going to be nice.
Okay.
Jimmy Scott. Little Jimmy Scott, that's right. And we lost him recently.
Yeah.
But yeah, he had an amazing voice, and he was the perfect voice for that soundtrack. It was haunting, yet stark, yet entertaining all at once.
Well, let's face it, most of David Lynch's stuff is kind of an exercise in juxtapositioning between what you're listening to and what you're seeing visually.
Yeah, absolutely. David Lynch has to be one of the finest artistic minds working today. That's the beauty.
But don't tell him that you're watching his movies on a cell phone.
Oh, I remember that. He said you could take that cell phone and throw it right in a river. I don't need
to. More or less.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah.
I can't do my best David Lynch here. You've got to be kidding me. It was kind of a cross between Truman Capote and Paul Lynn.
That's right. The beauty of David Lynch, I don't know if you ever knew this, but about 5 years ago, he used to do the weather every day in L.A.
Really?
Which, it never changes, so he'd always be there, and he'd be like, he'd have a cup of coffee, and he'd have a cigarette, he'd take a long hit, and he'd be like, folks, it's 72 degrees in Los Angeles, California, the longitude is 68, he would do the longitude, latitude, and he'd be like, have a great day.
Have a great life. Ultimately, there's nothing I can do about it. Keep those cards and letters coming.
I will see you at the diner. Enjoy your donuts. Good old David Lynch. But yeah, that show was a good magnet for some good jazz. I played that quite a bit on the show. So
yeah,
that's what they did. So,
I'm going to interview you just a little bit.
Please.
All right. If I were to ask you what jazz artists specifically brought you to jazz, who would you say did it? Who opened the door for you?
If you would listen over the years of me doing the show, you would have to know that my leaning would be bebop. Miles Davis, John Coltrane, Thelonious Monk, that whole kind of core, Charlie Parker, all those guys, that was it.
Yeah.
They were the ones that just got my motor going. I used to have a little apartment down in the city. I would crank that music up. I would just let it go. And the soul just went nuts.
Well, for me, I think you wouldn't be surprised to know it was basically that period in the 50s.
Yeah.
Brubeck.
Yep.
That stuff. And I wasn't really following names specifically, but I liked some of Monk's stuff. Definitely Oscar Peterson and Bill Evans.
Yeah.
Both of the light jazz. And some Andre Previn.
Yeah. Yeah.
I tended to go a little bit towards this sound here.
Yeah.
Avant-garde. It's taken me a while to warm up to it.
Right. Yeah. No, they were definitely
avant. I think that's most of us, yeah.
Yeah. But that year, what you're talking about, probably from 56 to 58, when you talk about jazz exploding all over the board in every genre, from the Moldy Figs to the Beboppers, there was so much creativity, so many good albums coming out.
And that this was also the golden years of television.
Yeah.
So it was beginning, because I'm old enough. I'm old enough to remember this. This stuff. But back then, my father worked at a television station when they were broadcasting in glorious black and white monochromatic, and a lot of that jazz and those jazz artists were being introduced, particularly on public television, which was in its early days of inception then.
Right, yeah.
So that's where I remember a lot of it from.
But that was the fabric of everybody's listening pleasure at that time. Now when you hear jazz, it's like, oh, wow, that's jazz. Back then, that was just a part of what everybody was listening to. It was on the radio. It was all over the place. They were saturated with it.
Yeah. You know?
So now it's kind of a special
Steve Allen, yeah, I remember listening to him too, but because he was on television, of course.
But and I didn't really discover him until we hooked up and you talked about him being a jazz musician, and yeah. I've caught vinyl albums and I put them on, and it's like that dude knew how to do it.
Is it that man was extremely intelligent individual. Nobody really followed him in his family, I understand, but he was very gifted.
Yeah.
Along with being, you know, an orchestra director and a piano player and jazz entrepreneur, he of course was the Steve Allen was the one of the original Tonight Show hosts.
Yeah. The funny thing about Steve Allen is Terry Gibbs, the great vibraphonist I got a chance to interview,
yeah,
worked with him for years. He was his main guy on stage, and he talked about it, and the way he described Steve Allen, it reminded me, I actually did go to the Da Vinci Museum when I was in Italy, and Da Vinci used to write two things at once, upside down and right side up, and he was kind of talking about Steve Allen having so much going on in his brain that he just literally, people couldn't keep up. I mean, he would probably be thinking about a jazz tune, thinking about his monologue, thinking about God knows what. I mean, that guy was all over
even
the place.
In retirement, I know a guy or two that interviewed him in this industry and said he was constantly having to keep ahead of the people that were interviewing. And he didn't suffer people that didn't prepare very well.
Right.
You ask me here, what are you going to ask me? But he was always very gracious,
yeah,
and kept a real good sense of humor about himself. I think one of the best things I remember about Steve Allen was his laugh. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
When you really cracked him up, you couldn't sit there and not laugh along with him.
Right, yeah.
He had one of those high chuckle laughs that you would just laugh at it because he was laughing.
Yeah, he was charming.
Yep.
He was a very charming soul.
Well, kind of wrapping up this little piece here.
Yeah. I think timing. What was that you were saying earlier?
Timing. Oh, okay. You want to close with that?
Yeah. So
an old Steve Allen, we'll go ahead and do it again just for our listening audience.
So what do you do for a living?
Stand-up comedian.
So what's so good about what you do?
Timing.
I love it.
And on that note...
Oh, my God, it fell. I told you it was going to be loud when it did. Thank you. That was perfect. Timing. God dang it, we did it. Timing. Good night, kids.
Good night, kids. Neon Jazz.